Jeune. 1. Season's time. It's your time. In Singapore, on a sweltering June day a few months before the end of the world, Lai Jun, a top 50 creator on the Name the Day forum and ranked number one for expertise in technological survival, was shopping for electronics in the Season's Time Mall when someone tried to shoot her. Coincidentally, Jun had already made a video called What Goes Through Your Mind When You're Being Shot At, and 6.3 million people had watched it. In the video, she was wry and witty, talking to the camera as her assistant fired the gun. She moved fast in a forward roll, staying low to the ground. She said, "Remember that shock will make it hard to focus," she said. "You'll freeze. You'll have to fight against your instincts." She said, "Remember that you might piss your pants." She grinned. "No, really," she said. "This is serious." The top comment was, "Hella survival instinct, girl." It had 15,272 likes. Lai Chun had survived the fall of Hong Kong and 17 months in an offshore British refugee camp. She spoke about these things with the detached and ironized humor, the expertise, and the only slightly emotionally broken style that was by then the popular tone to talk about the end of civilization. Chun was 33 years old, and an increasingly survival-focused world of constantly unfolding crises was eager for what she had to offer. But the symbol and the real are never the same. A friend shooting blanks for a video to drive engagement with your sponsor's brand of outdoor clothing is one thing. 4 bullets bursting through the glass of an electronics store in the Season's Time Mall in Singapore is another. When the heavy thunks hit 2 televisions and the tourist standing next to her, Jun did not, in fact, use verbal noting strategies to master her fear, and she did not do 4-7-8 breathing. Instead, all she heard inside her head was her own stupid voice saying, "You might piss your pants." Season's Time was the world's largest retail megacity. It was owned by some international tech consortium that had invited Jun to take part in a charitable event for flood relief, disaster relief, refugee aid, one of those. Jun was bouncing off a bad, complicated ghosting quasi-breakup with a woman she'd really thought might amount to something. She'd accepted the invitation because she thought it might be soothing to be in the most uptight country on earth, and because when she felt like shit, she always kept moving. Her friend Marius had said, "You going because you care about refugee aid? You don't fool me with your dark Jean-François Lyotard postmodern ironic bullshit." It was true she'd turned down invitations to review a self-erecting tent in Addis Ababa and a revolutionary smart fiber jacket in Helsinki. She'd brushed off a multi-country PR junket for secure survival spaces in 80 major cities around the world, which you too could access for only $7,000 a year. What's that in exchange for peace of mind? This was her thing, not rubbing sticks together to make a fire. Buying the best equipment you could and working smart with technology so as to escape the horrifying fall of civilization. But she'd turned it all down for a charity event in Singapore. "Fuck you," she'd said to Marius. "I don't have any feelings. You can't prove that." As soon as she'd arrived from San Francisco, she'd headed directly from the hotel to the Season's Time Mall to see what technology hadn't reached America yet. She didn't have feelings about the migrant crisis, she had no emotions about wealth inequality, and she didn't give a shit about the stupid breakup. She was here to consume. The ads for the world's largest retail mega mall said, "In Season's Time, it's always your time." But more accurately, it was always no time whatsoever. Different parts of the mall kept up a constant, artificial version of one season or another. Religious festivals, natural events, and national celebrations crowded together in no particular order in accordance with the agnosticism of the marketplace. Like Disneyland, it was always time for a parade, and January sales came around once every 85 hours for an hour on a schedule posted only on the Season's Time, It's Your Time app. According to various providers of tepid takes, Season's Time was either the most crass and culturally appropriative place on Earth, an ecological disaster, a charming example of Singaporean whimsy, or honestly, just lighten up. It's a fun place to spend an afternoon shopping. Lai Chun had skated across these possibilities as she walked through the pumpkin spice gate toward International Women's Day Plaza. She was here to experience it and enjoy it, and also comment on it, disdain it, and be offended by it. A heady mix as intense as the scent of cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves sprayed from the air vents above her head. Enjoyably and wonderfully distracting, nothing that happened here was ever fully real, and neither, while she was here, was she. She went into an electronics store in Christmas, glass ceilings and twinkling lights. There was a new camera she wanted to try. She took it to the window. Outside, a wall of thin screens showed footage of Lank Sketlish, flanked by his assistants, announcing another future-safe wildlife protection zone. No, not engaging with the real world in Season's Time, thank you. Chun pointed the self-filtering multifocal lens at a crystalline glass snowflake suspended from the ceiling. She zoomed and focused, forcing a perfectly crisp image with different filters. She was looking at the snowflake through the viewfinder when it exploded. The snowflake burst open like a time-lapse film of decay. The points collapsed and the innards spurted out, and almost at the same moment, there was a sound like a toy firework from three floors up. She thought, cool effect? No. Is that some kind of... could it be a fault? Because it seems like... I bet they mess around with the sound in movies to make the shot more prominent, because really that was like a firecracker. Oh, crap. Four starburst holes opened in the storefront window, glittering like tinsel. Lai Chun had made 12 videos about active shooter scenarios. She felt her mouth fall open like a slot machine, noticed a part of her mind scrambling for a reason that glass could just fail like that. She flipped through a mental file of survival strategies and came up empty again and again. How to catch rainwater in a bedsheet? No. How to preserve fresh corn using salt? No. How to strip and clean an AK-47? Getting closer, sport. Active shooter, there we are. Run. She ran. Not out of the store. In the wide open spaces of Christmas Plaza, she'd be an easy target. She looked behind her. There it was, at the back, a storage room. There had to be a service exit. The other customers were still standing, slack-jawed. Chun felt slow, but they hadn't even got to the part where they started screaming yet. She jumped over the counter, just as a tiny Japanese lady in immaculate jeans and a beige wool coat got a bullet in her shoulder with a heavy thunk. Blood spattered over the thin screens and keyboards and camera gimbals. Chun took one look back. The woman's husband was crouching over her, and the rest of the customers scattered. Think. Try to remember one single thing you've learned about all of this, you idiot. In the back room, there were boxes of electronics on metal shelves. For a moment, she thought, crap, dead end. And in the same instant, spotted the back door, partially concealed by the shelves. She tried the door. The lock flashed red. Fuck. In one of the pockets of her trousers, she found her universal key fob, pressed it against the lock, waited three long heartbeats, remembering the manufacturer's warnings that universal had a limited meaning, and Marius telling her it was, piece of crap, won't open envelope. But how secure could a mall service exit be? Waited. The light went green. The handle turned. She stepped into a long, poorly lit corridor, storage boxes lining the walls. The shouts from the mall were instantly more muted. She shut the door behind her. Her hands were shaking. Okay, she was safe. But what if someone else needed to escape? She opened the door, wedged a piece of cardboard into the lock. Okay, you're a hero. Or at least not a bad person. Get out now, Jun. Get away from the door. Come on. She looked left and right. To the right, fiberglass chairs made to look like stacked piles of books. To the left, 300 yards of cardboard pumpkins in a tumbling mound, some with sail carved into their cardboard skins. Jun tried to remember which way was out. Left would take her through Halloween, then Valentine's Day, then cherry blossom season, then Day of the Dead, then the exit. She turned left and ran. There were no sounds behind her. She was still alive, unhurt, apart from a couple of scratches on her arm from the shattering glass. She hadn't saved anyone else, but she hadn't done badly. This was terrible, but random. The shooter was probably already dead. Singapore would not fuck around with this. Jun was going to get an amazing piece out of how she used her skills in the pre-apocalypse urban jungle. Ah, the return of self-interest. Must be feeling safer. Jun risked another look behind her. Nothing. No one had followed her through the door. No shots fired. She couldn't even hear anyone trying the handle. All right. Survival training. She paused behind a shelf of Professor Pumpkins and let her heart rate drop and the rushing in her ears dissipate. If it was just a lone shooter, the best thing would be to get out of the building. But it could be a terrorist attack. Multiple shooters could easily be waiting outside the building, picking people off. In which case, the best thing would be to hide here, in this dim space between spaces. Jun jogged past the last celebrity pumpkins, Ryan Reynolds with silver-sprayed hair, and Zendaya as ridged and bulbous orange caricatures. She turned right into pink polystyrene glitter hearts, Valentine's Day. Light-up cupids with long eyelashes leaned against the walls three deep, next to plastic Grecian urns filled with glitter confetti. Rows of bins were filled with cuddly animals holding plush hearts. A lot of them were foxes. Was that a thing now? Christmas reindeer, Easter rabbits, Valentine, foxes? Like every holiday has to have a special animal? Jun listened again. Alarms were going off in different parts of the building, but no footsteps behind her. She looked over her shoulder. The corridor was empty. The hollow bones of a fiberglass dragon boat were propped against the wall. She looked ahead. The Japanese cherry blossom festival combined with a paper lantern ceremony. Papier-mâché boughs covered in tissue paper blossoms and glitter, hung with lanterns, a fiberglass bridge with a blue velvet river underneath, a row of 1950s jukeboxes plugged into wall outlets. For 4 years now, she'd taught a 3-day outdoor survival course on calculated risk. Think. She had a safe onward route. She could see a green exit sign past the Day of the Dead skulls and Mexican lace wall fans. Secondary exit. Open panel into the crawl space behind the display of sugar skulls. Good. For now, hide. Get more info. It had to be 6 or 7 minutes since the snowflake shattered. Long enough for it to be online. She ran back, dug deep into a dump bin full of plush Valentine foxes. She pulled the soft toys on top of her, hunkered down toward the bottom of the bin where the fragments of fake fox fur were thick, like moist moss on a jungle floor. She flicked on the flexible thin screen in her jacket sleeve. Was the black dot already in the corner of the screen then? She could never afterward remember. She searched for Seasons Time Mall. There it was, post after post. There'd been a malfunction with one of the lighting rigs. Exploding metal parts had shattered the windows of two stores. A shard of glass had wounded a tourist in the arm, though not seriously. There were photos of security guards opening the huge doors at either end of the quadrant, and stalls in the parking lots handing out free hot chocolate and pho. Customers inconvenienced were each being given a $100 gift certificate, good in any store. Consumer capitalism at its finest. Chun felt like an idiot. That's what all that training gets you. A lighting rig explodes and you think you're being shot at. What next? Someone flushes the toilet and you think you're in a tsunami? Her ex, Ya Ling, had been right. She needed to talk to someone about the effects of spending half her teenage years in a refugee camp, about losing her mom, about the thing with the dog. And she had to figure out something better to spend her days on because she was seeing it everywhere now. Apocalypse shows, the constant drumbeat of survival strategies and escape routes and go bags, and it's not helping, is it, Jun? It's making it worse, and this is where it gets you. A laugh rose in her throat as she imagined how she looked from the outside, hiding under Valentine Foxes in an empty corridor in a shopping mall. What was she doing? Just missing out on free pho? Her chuckle bubbled into a sound, just as a gunshot went straight through the Valentine Foxes, bursting the plush toys into clouds of choking fur. Before her conscious mind had even caught up with her training, she jumped out of the bin, hurled it backward in the direction the shots were coming from, and she ran. She glanced back. One woman, long, baggy floral dress, hair piled into a patterned sack of a hat, denim jacket, beat-up sneakers. If you saw her on the street, you'd take her for the intense soccer parent all the other parents avoid. But her kit was real enough. The suppressed Beretta M9A3 said she knew her guns. How had she known to aim at the bin? Had she heard Jun laugh? If Jun hadn't curled her body around the edges, if she'd been sitting right in the center of the bin, this person would have killed her. Jun rounded the next corner a little ahead of her pursuer. She toppled over a large fiberglass bridge and pushed the fake cherry blossom trees onto it. It wouldn't stop the assassin, but Jun would have a few moments crouching down where the woman couldn't see her. Secondary exit. Jun hurled the baskets of flexi-film cherry blossoms in the air. They floated down very slowly, twinkling as they turned the kinetic energy into flickering light, a curtain of pink and dark pink and dusky pink and white and rose. Jun punched random buttons on the nearest jukebox. It played a funked-up Sakura, loud enough to mask the sound of what she was doing. As the fake petals fell and the bass reverberated, Jun dived into the crawl space behind the trees and pulled the panel closed behind her. She barely noticed, but she had, in fact, pissed herself.